This morning, I was looking for a passage. Well, actually, I was looking for it yesterday, but it's time in King David's life when Saul was chasing him. He had the army chasing him, trying to kill him. And so he thought that, well, maybe if he hid out among the Philistines, Saul wouldn't look for him there. So he went to Philistines and pretended to be crazy. And the Philistine king basically said, I don't need another nut in my kingdom, and chased him away. And, you know, it's clear, we studied it with the men a while back, it's clear that at that time, David felt like he'd been totally abandoned by all of his friends, enemies, that there was nobody that cared for him. And that, and here's a psalm that that he wrote at that time. It's Psalm 34. Don't look it up, but just listen carefully to what Saul says. I will kneel down before the Lord at all times. Unrehearsed songs of praise will always be on my lips. My soul will celebrate in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And I suspect a few of us feel kind of challenged and burdened. And yet, we know that the Lord is on our side. Let's praise him this morning. Would you join? Would you stand and join me in prayer? Father God, we thank you that you are our Father, that you care about us deeply, Lord. You care about our hurts, our wounds, the things that have been done to us, the things that we've done to ourselves through foolish decisions and sin. We thank you, Lord, that you make good all those things, Lord. You bring good out of those things. That sometimes we don't get the results that we expect or wish, but what you have for us is even better than what we would have for ourselves. And so we thank you, Lord. Father, now I ask, too, that you would help us to kneel down and worship you, Lord, that we would praise your name, that we would carry an aroma of your blessing to the world around us. And I thank you in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we're going to start off this morning with a chorus that I grew up singing, and I'm sure many of you all will know this, and that's "This is the day." When we're going through the struggles and we're going through the challenges of life, you know, this little song will kick in every once in a while, that this is the day that the Lord hath made. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So let's do it.
This is a day, this is a day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is a day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, this is a day.
You know, they're doing pretty good, but I think if we really believe that this was the day that the Lord hath made, that means that we really got to sing it out, and we really got to clap it, and we really got to sing it today.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. the day that the Lord has made.
I will enter
his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is a day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice,
for he has made me glad.
For he has made me glad. He has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Because this is the day.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise.
I will say this is the day that the Lord has made.
I will rejoice,
for he has made me glad.
For he has made me glad.
Oh, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You have made us glad. Thank you for the joy of the Lord that is in our heart this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou art best thought by day or by night. Waking and sleeping, thy presence, my light.
Thank you, Lord.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing, Jesus Messiah. Above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. You are our Messiah. You are our Lord of all. Father God, I pray that we remember that and keep that in focus throughout the day, throughout the week, as the ups and the downs, Lord Jesus, that you are the Lord of all. You are holy and you are worthy to be praised. And we thank you that we can praise you this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, you may have noticed we're missing a keyboardist, I think, right, Olivia?
That's right.
Some of our, actually, thank you so much, stranger. Some of our teenagers, I'm just adjusting this, some of our teenagers are up at Christian Youth in Action. Sorry, Nate, thank you. You'll figure it. I appreciate that. So some of our teenagers, I think we have Olivia is out there. I think also Elijah, Hezekiah, also Madison, Asdaline, Jojo, yep, Jonathan from school, Skylar, and I think there's somebody else who I'm forgetting. But anyway, let's take a minute and pray for them. And I noticed that there's a few folks here that aren't feeling well. But if you could please pray for Madison's mom. Madison's over at Christian Youth in Action. This is her first time out there. But also, if you could pray for her mom. She's been in the emergency room with just severe head pains, and they can't figure out what it is. So we're just going to take a minute and pray for her. And if there's anyone else that's sick, let's just lift them up, or that's hurting that you know of. I'm sure there's a lot. Let's just take a minute, Kayla, too. Let's just take a minute and just let's just lift them up to the Lord. Father, we just want to say thank you for today, Lord, and thank you for our brothers and sisters. Lord, you know right now who's hurting, Lord God. Lord, you know right now who's empty, Lord, who's depressed, or maybe who's physically ill, Lord God, or who's in so much pain they can barely stand it, Lord God. Lord, we ask you to lift each one of them, to touch their hearts, Lord, right where they're at. Renew their minds right where they're at. Strengthen their spirits, Lord God. Encourage them, Lord God. And we ask for your healing touch and your comfort to be upon them. We pray specifically, Lord, for Vicky, Lord God, that you would just help the doctors or just heal her mind, whatever that slicing pain is in her mind, Lord, whatever that is, that you would just touch her, Lord, or help the doctors to figure out what that is quickly, Lord God. We pray for your blessing as we get into your word today, Father, and on all the folks that are here today, Lord, and the ones that were not able to make it, that you would draw all men to yourself as we lift you up, Lord God. Bless your people, Lord God. Speak to us. Your servants are listening. We ask as a body, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Well, we're very glad you're here. We've got a few announcements to go over, and then we will get into the Word. So I don't forget them. Yep. Okay, we don't have a ton of loaves of bread today. It's not, the hall was not as big, but if you want some bagels, we still got a bunch of them and stuff like that. You are welcome to take home what we have back there. Also, you guys know we don't take up tithes and offerings. We don't want to make up anybody to feel manipulated or cajoled or hassled into giving. There's a bird box in the back. You guys have been taught well, and you know the Lord. You're to give back in there in that little bird box. God loves a cheerful giver. Just to help us to get to know one another, please continue to use those name tags when you come into the door, so we just help get to know one another a little bit better. Also, Sunday mornings, we want to make sure that you're aware at about 9 a.m. Gary leads a little prayer meeting here. We want to encourage everybody to come out and pray for our community and for our fellow believers. Also, our men's Bible studies on the first and third Tuesdays are at 6 p.m. and 6:30. As when the Bible study starts, and 6 p.m. is dinner. We want to encourage you to come out to that. Also, women's Bible study, they're going through the book of Ephesians on the second Tuesday of each month from 6:30 to 8 here at Home Fellowship Church, and you can call Erica, and you'll notice the number is now correct. So, girls, when you call her, you'll actually get her with the new number, right? Oh, my goodness. I thought, no way, it's wrong again. That would have been humiliating. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to my life. Okay, we also have youth group on Wednesdays, the Transformers Youth Group with Josh and Amanda Panda. Also, Experiencing God. Listen, for all you Experiencing Godders, we had about 30 people that are at taking the course, roughly. If there is any, this is our second week that we're coming up to. If there is anybody who did not get a workbook, okay, did not get a workbook, and you still, or maybe you want to start taking this course, we only offer this course maybe once every year or two. And I'll tell you, the first 2 weeks are review, kind of an overhaul of the whole thing, and then it really gets into some meat and potatoes. It's probably the best Bible study I've ever done, and it's probably God has used it to help make me sensitive to the Holy Spirit and lead my life. If there is anybody who wants to take this course who has not done it, and you want to take it with us, okay, would you see me, Chris, afterwards, and I'll explain to you how to go through that workbook? Okay. Is there anybody else that would like to join? It's not too late. I'm guaranteeing this is the best Bible study that you could possibly take. And we only do it every year or two. So if you want to, this is probably the last week. Other than that, it's going to be hard to catch up. Anybody else? Is there is writing involved. Yep, you got to put in work. I'm not going to lie to you. You can't just sit and show up. Because part of this is you drawing near to the Lord. So yes, you got to put in a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. If anybody changes their mind? Oh, you got one? Eskimo. Big step for you. I'm proud of you. All right, see me afterwards. I'll explain to you. Do your homework, guys. If you don't do your homework on that, I hate to even call it homework. Do your God work. Also, so that's Thursday nights. What time is it? It's from, 6:30 to 8:30? You think I didn't know, being that I'm here. But 6:30 to 8:30, Thursdays, okay, for the next 13 weeks. Also, we're having a game night, not this Saturday, right, Wendy Jo? Okay, not this upcoming Saturday, but the Saturday afterwards from 4 p.m. to whatever, and it's just a family game night. People ask, what do we do? Bring your favorite games. Bring Settlers of Catan. Bring Monopoly. Bring whatever. Spot It. Bring whatever game you want. Hang out. The ages, I don't know, we've had folks from about 8 to about 80 come and have a great time, and the kids love it. And a lot of the adults love it, so we just want to invite you out. If you have any questions, you can see Wendy Jo for more info. And now we are going to get into the Word of God. Is there anything else that I'm supposed to give away? Let me see. Kayla is not here. Okay, so would you mind giving this to her for me? If she's not doing the Experiencing God. Yeah, okay, then we'll swap it out. Okay. Also, before we get started, though, now the Lord told me not to do that one. Okay. Does anybody, we have a few more Team Jesus shirts. Anybody proudly wear a Team Jesus? Okay, what size, kid? XL. XL? Let's see if I got one of you for you. Are you ready? Going once, you got an XL. Incoming. Ma'am?
What sizes do you have?
That's a fantastic question. I have a large. I have a small.
A large.
And a medium. Okay. All right, anybody else? Nicholas. You want a large? Oh, I got medium. You want to try it? All right. All right, I'm going to throw it back there, and you guys can, all right, don't let it poke out an eye. Oh, that was awesome. The tip by Joel. Okay, now I have a small. Natalie, oh, perfect. Here you go. Ready? Incoming. You're welcome. If you want another one, we'll get some more in, Lord willing. All right, kind-hearted Chris or Anthony, would you grab some Bibles and hand them out? If you need a Bible, raise your hand. You will need them today. We're finishing the book of Daniel. We're finishing the book of Daniel, Lord willing. Yes. I am exceptionally, relatively confident. The reason why I say that... The reason why I say that, boy, this thing keeps coming out of my ear, is because chapter 12 is more of a kind of a closing chapter with closing remarks. Now, if you remember, if you were here with us for the rest of the studies, yes. Do I know the mic? Yes, I don't know where the mic is. George, do you know where the mic is? How quickly we are to blame. You had it. I had nothing. Handheld mic. Gary. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, I had nothing. Don't judge me. All right, so if you guys remember, we went through in Daniel chapter 11. We went through probably, I don't even know, how many prophetic things that came to be in the book of Daniel. Lots of history. If you ever doubted the Bible, if you listened to the last 2 weeks of teachings, you wouldn't doubt anymore unless you're just stubborn. So incredible amounts of prophetic history revealed and solved with 100% accuracy. As we get here to this section, if you notice it takes a little change in your Bible, I got to get there myself, to verse 36, thank you, Chris. It talks about, it makes a little transition from, we were talking about Antiochus Epiphanes, and he was a picture of what the Antichrist is going to look like. Remember, he's a smooth tongue, you remember that? He's going to be a flatterer, he's going to be, and we went through all that kind of stuff, who he was, a man of intrigue, he's going to be a schmoozer, and as it goes to verse 36, it moves away from Antiochus and historical and what happened in the picture into a future Revelation from 36 to the end of chapter 12. And so it moves kind of to what the end times are going to look like. Now, here's my little prophecy disclaimer for some of you guys who are new to the church. When it comes to things like future prophecy, now past prophecy, oh, I can just nail that bullseye. But when it comes to future prophecy, there are a lot of things that we don't know. Now, a lot of times, some preachers and teachers will tell you, well, this means this country for sure, and that for sure, and this for sure. But can I tell you, some of my, even my favorite teachers will differ because they're trying to suppose what they think it would be. They don't know yet because it happens in the future. So some of these things that I'm going to share with you, I'm going to share what I think it should be, okay? But if I'm wrong, don't stone me. Is that fair enough? Or if you disagree, that's okay. You may be right. All right, so let's go. If you've ever seen, if you ever seen this, on a TV, they'd have a picture of somebody, and then you see another picture come in, and slowly it kind of goes over it, and then you don't see the old picture anymore. That's what's happening right here as we're going to the future on what the Antichrist is going to look like. And so as we start off in verse 36, let me get my notes, make sure I'm ready. Okay, great. Okay, it says, speaking of the Antichrist here, it's going to say the king or the leader will do as he pleases. This Antichrist that we've got the picture of Antiochus, he's going to do as he pleases. He will magnify, he will exalt and magnify himself above every god. Now, if you remember, Antiochus didn't do that. Antiochus Epiphanes, which means, enlightened one or whatever, or as the Jews would call him, Antiochus Epimenes, the madman, because he was a brutal slaughterer of people, of God's people. It said that he set up an abomination that causes desolation in the temple. If you remember that from last week or the week before, and he did a temple to a statue of Zeus and made everybody worship it. He was a diehard Greek guy who wanted the Greek culture smashed into these God-fearing Jews. I don't want you to follow the Lord. I want you to follow Greek culture. And if you remember, he made this statue to Zeus, and he made everybody worship it and eat pig's flesh and dress like Greeks. And if they didn't, they were killed. Okay? So this guy, what he's going to do is he's going to end up magnifying himself above every other god. Okay? It says in verse 36... that he's going to say unheard of things against the God of gods. So he might start off being a little politician, a little schmoozer, saying what he needs to say, get things done. But eventually, you know what he's going to do? He's just going to flat out blaspheme the Lord. So here's the deal. You're going to have a world leader who's going to be total antichrist. And when I say antichrist, I mean anti-Christian too. He is going to totally malign the name of the Lord our God. He's going to do everything the opposite of what the Lord would do, of what his word would say. He's going to just blaspheme him almost freely. And people are going to join on the bandwagon because he's going to be a popular guy. He's going to be a charismatic guy. He's going to be a smooth talker of a guy. And it says that he will be successful. It says until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined must take place. Now that's important. I circled it in my Bible. Until the time is completed and has been determined, for what has been determined must take place. Listen, we talked about this last week about the appointed times in Daniel 11, but Galatians 4, verse 5 says that, it says this in Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, but when the set time had fully come, said God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those, that's us, under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. And here's the thing. When it looks like the world's going crazy, right? When it looks like, back then they had to be thinking, we're under Roman oppression, this is terrible, what's going to happen? But God said at just the right time. I've set a time, an appointed time. When the time had fully come, that's when this goes into play. It's no accident. All this stuff isn't going to happen at some random place at a random time. There's a specific time set ahead of time for all these things to take place. Okay? The world isn't going, people get so panicked, you know, about the world. And I remember I was administrator of a Christian school. We had about 110 families. And I remember watching as the planes hit the towers, you know. And it was horrific, horrible things. And then the Pentagon, you didn't know what was going on. It was happening all over the place. It was a terrible, terrible thing. Terrible. But I remembered that following week and the following week, many of the families were just devastated, panicked. What? And the Lord says, hey, I don't want you to be upset. Read some of Matthew, maybe 24. He says, look, there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. There's going to be plagues, things like this. It's going to happen. These are the beginning of birth pains. Don't be anxious. Don't be upset. Don't freak out. All these things must happen. And so our job is just to remain faithful to him, to follow Jesus step by step. He says, be anxious about nothing, right? Nothing, but by prayer and supplications, make your request known to him, and the peace of God, as you trust in him and his word that transcends all understanding, will be upon you in Christ Jesus. So when all these things are rocking your world and you start to see some of these things come to place, you can say, if you're right with Jesus, I'm born again. I'm safe. I've been adopted. I'm his kid. He's going to take care of me. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. It goes on to say, well, I should say, even Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, it said, the time is fulfilled. When he was talking to people, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. He said, repent and believe the gospel. So Jesus, as he was even ministering, he's saying, hey, the time's fulfilled. My time's now. The kingdom of God is now. So there's an appointed time for all these things. He says even he knows the number of hairs on your head. No one's going to take you before your time. Do you realize that? Now, don't be dumb and say, hey, Pastor Darren said no one's going to take me before my time and walk out into traffic, right? The Bible says, hey, don't put your Lord, your God to the test. So don't be a moron. But also know that he knows the day of your birth. You're not an accident. You're purposeful. And he knows the day of your death. And really, in some ways, you're kind of Superman or Superwoman until that day comes. Now, I know we don't always feel like Superman or Superwoman, right? So we get up in the morning, creak, crack. But anyway, now don't try to figure out, there's a lot of people that try to figure out, oh, they want to figure out this date, they want to figure out that date, and they're all into the dates, and they got to figure out the when. Listen, it's good to be observant, but even Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So listen, don't try to figure it out. If you ever do and get to the point where you do figure it out, what day it is, can I tell you what? You're wrong. Because Jesus said you would be. All right. It goes on to say in verse 37, it says that he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers. Does anybody else have anything different in your translation for that? It says he will show no regard for the gods of his fathers. Excuse me, what does it say? Okay, the gods of his ancestors. Okay, that's good. Anybody else? Okay, so speaking of this Antichrist, it says he will have no regards for the gods of his father. Now, some people, a lot of Bible scholars think, well, that means that this guy must be Jewish. Okay, so the Antichrist is going to be of a Jewish nationality. Okay. I don't know that to be true. I think if you're going to say that definitively, the word in Hebrew does mean, it means like the gods of, it could also say God of his ancestors, just like your translation says. So it could mean that, you know what, I'm not going to worship whatever gods, whatever I'm from, whatever country I'm from. I'm just not going to, I'm not going that way. If they worshiped, if they were Catholic, if it was Muslim, whatever, I'm not going to do that. It could mean, it's a little bit of a stretch to me to say that he's Jewish. And even if he was, The Antichrist was very shifty, and he's a very smooth talker. So if you're looking, hey, he's not a Jewish guy, he might be Jewish nationality, you'd never know it. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know how he would broker a truce with the Muslim community and the Arab world to build a temple if they knew he was of Jewish descent. So don't bank on that. He could be of Jewish descent, we don't know. But he's going to have no regard for the God of his fathers, and it says, or for the one desired by women. What does that mean? Okay, so some folks have also said that because of that verse, the Antichrist is going to be a homosexual. Okay, or maybe a trans. I don't know if you can say that either. Look, he could be, right? In our culture right now, right? Kind of flagrant, you know, anti-God. A lot of that community looks at Christians very poorly. And some knucklehead Christians are very mean to folks that struggle with that same-sex attraction. But I don't know if we can say that either. When it says in that verse that, you know, or any regard for the one desired by women, maybe he's just so focused on his Antichrist mission and persecuting the church that he doesn't have time for that. I know my mission. I know what I'm going for. So listen. Now, this came up in the youth group, and unfortunately, a lot of the youth are gone, so I kind of feel bad going over this. But nonetheless, who are addressing the gay community, to go and to shout and scream at them saying they're terrible, awful sinners and all this kind of stuff, can I just be blunt honest with you? If you're doing that, will you stop doing that? Do you think that really is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. Of course not. Okay? So if that's you, okay, and maybe we've grown up different ways, so I'm not attacking anybody, will you stop that? Now, with that being said, I'm also going to say what the Bible says. If you love that person, God loves everybody. He loves the sexually immoral. He loves the homosexuals. He loves the thief, the liar, the perjurer. And he wants to rescue them from that sin, right? Do you know what I'm saying? He wants to pull them out of that muck and that mire. And the Bible says this. So we should be talking to them about it, but we can't approach them by punching them in the face. That's dumb. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11 says this. And God's really clear about it. Don't you realize that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived, because the enemy's going to try to trick you. Oh, it's okay to live this way. It's okay to do whatever you want. No, it's not. You either love the Lord and you live by the way he says to live, or you're doing your own thing. And that's against God. He says, don't be deceived. Those who indulge in sexual sin, if that's how you live your life, hey, I don't need to be married, whatever. Those who worship idols, commit adultery, or male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy, or drunkards, or abusive, or cheat people. The Bible says pretty clearly, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot live an ungodly lifestyle and say that we love the Lord and we're going to live a godly lifestyle. He says, no, you must make a choice. Does that make sense? He also says this, and we have to be truthful. The best thing you can ever do for somebody who has same-sex attraction is, man, God loves these people and wants to rescue them out of that. He does. And the most loving thing you could do is to tell them that. This is what the Bible says. In fact, it would be unloving for you, Christian, not to tell them that, right? Because then they would continue in their sin. But notice, it's not just the homosexual. It's those, hey, that's a lot there. In fact, and the reason why we shouldn't get self-righteous about it, Christian, is because the Bible says some of you were once like that. But you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Holy schmolies, some of you were thieves. Some of you were adulterers. Some of you were homosexual, lived that lifestyle. Some of you were all these things. So who are we to be attacking, right, someone else now for that? We should be having a hand of rescue, saying, I want you, want to help you get out, brother. I love you. That's our heart. Does that make sense? Good. Now listen, I have a movie. There's a movie by a group called Living Waters. It's called Audacity. We handed a few out. It's about a 30-minute movie on how to approach somebody who's struggling with about homosexuality and how to struggle with that. If you have a friend, if you want to watch it, or you have a friend that's struggling with that, it's a great movie to watch, and it's a great thing to give away in a loving way. If anybody wants me to bring those in, I will bring those in next week and hand them out. Honey, will you help me to remember? Thank you. Put it on the list. But the bottom line is, Jesus said for all of us sinners, he says, just like he told Nicodemus, he says, I said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Listen, you have to be born from above to see the kingdom of God. All right, I'll wait for that. All right. Did you hit the light for a second, Chris? Thanks. Speaking of this Antichrist too, it says also, one desire, but nor will he regard any God, but he will exalt himself above all. So, you know, what if that means he's going to be an atheist, or maybe his mind, his intellect, his wisdom, his philosophical, I don't know. But he's not going to really regard any God. He's going to kind of consider him as a God. And if you're an atheist here, you know, and that's what you're struggling with, can I just tell you something? You've made yourself God. Because you're determining what it is to be saved, or how it is to get to heaven, or even if there's a heaven. You're making yourself a God. And so this guy is going to be, and he's going to exalt himself. In fact, he's going to go, and when they rebuild that temple, he's going to have folks worship himself. Holy schmoly. Talk about narcissistic. But that's what the enemy wants. Remember, I think I told this last week, the Satanic Bible. It says, do what thou wilt is the whole of the law. Just make it all about self, right? Worship yourself. Don't listen to the Lord. Do what you want. I just feel this way, Pastor Darren. I know the word says this, but I just feel like, what I just feel I should do this. Oh, I know it's wrong, but I just feel in my heart that God is okay with it. Adoy. You listen to what the Lord says and not what you say or what Satan whispers in your ear. It says in verse 38, instead of them, he will honor of God, a God of fortresses, a God unknown to his fathers, and he will honor with gold and silver and precious stones and costly gifts. Okay, when it says that instead of them, he will honor a God of fortresses, the word in Hebrew is meos. And what it means is a God of strength, a God of power, almost speaking militarily or something. And so he's going to maybe military might, and he's going to honor that power, that might, whatever. He's going to flood in cash with it. He's going to pour all of his stuff into that, and that's going to be where he worships his protection, his safety. It's the same word, that strength, that power, that meos, that God of fortresses. He's going to honor a God of fortresses. It's the same word in 2 Samuel 22:33. Chris, if you can hit that light just for a second. Where it says, it is God who arms me, in a reverse way, it is God who arms me with strength and power and keeps my way secure. That strength and power is the same word, ma'oz. So the Antichrist is saying, my God's going to be my strength, and my power, my might. That's going to be my God. And that's where I'm going to pour my money into. Does that make sense? Thanks. It says in verse 39 that he will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and distribute the land at a price. And then it goes on talking about some of the last battle. At that time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle. And the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a fleet and ships. He will invade many countries and will sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. Now, a lot of folks will say, okay, and this is probably what it is, but I don't know for sure. That king of the north that's going to be coming in is probably Russia. Probably. But we don't know for sure. So I'm just going to say that king of the north that's going to come in during those last days is Russia. The king of the south, maybe an Arab, maybe a Muslim-Arab coalition from the south, who I don't even want to say, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, something like that. And then it goes on to say in verse 42 that he will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. And then it says he will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and riches of Egypt, but with the Libyans and Nubians in submission. But reports from the east and the north will alarm him. I think that's going to be like a huge armed forces from the east, maybe China, okay, will set out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. We'll talk about that in a minute. And he will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful mountain. Yet he will come to his end and no one will help him. So here's what we have. That last little bit is the battle of Armageddon, where at first he's going to schmooze all these leaders for those first years, and then they're going to realize what's going on and they're going to all come against him. In this battle of Armageddon, and then the Lord's going to come, and then they're all going to turn on the Lord. But this is actually what it looks like. This is the area of Megiddo, the plains of Megiddo in the Jezreel Valley in Israel. This is a view up from Mount Carmel. For those of you guys who did King study, do you remember where Elijah the prophet fought the prophets of Baal and Asherah, right? Before all of Israel, up on Mount Carmel, that's where we were up, and this is like looking out. You can't see all the picture, but it's an incredibly fertile area of Israel, and this is where like the last battles are going to be taking place, okay? And so there's oil rights that Zion Oil has there. That's their main agricultural area, their main oil area. There's just a lot of stuff is right there in Israel, okay? I mean, the Jezreel Valley itself, Jezreel means El sows or God sows. So it's you can see why that would be a place to attack as they're trying to attack the enemy. Armageddon is actually in Hebrew, it's Har Megiddo, and that just means Har means I think Mount Megiddo. Now, for those of you in the Bible who've read the Old Testament, you know that Megiddo is actually a place. This is about 35 acres. It's kind of hard to see from the aerial view, but it's huge. We've been there. There's so much history. I'm going to try not to go into it. Just want to say, it's so cool. I'm just saying. Okay, so if you read Megiddo, it's mentioned at least like 10, 20 times in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Megiddo, this is actual real place. Armageddon, Har Megiddo, in the Valley of Megiddo. This is all where it's going to be taking place. Megiddo actually exists, okay? 35 acres. I forgot I had that in there. Okay, this is like the ruins of the city gate at Megiddo. It's believed Solomon made this originally in 1 Kings 9:15. It's got so much history, and I purposely started deleting slides, but they've got such cool things. They've got water tunnels under this 35 acres of city. That goes completely, they dug, I don't know how they did this, through limestone, stone, under the city. They built regular steps so that, you know, tourists wouldn't fall and stuff like that. But it goes under the entire city so that they can get well water. They can get well for the water for the city. It's amazing. There's so much history. If you're wondering where it is in Israel, because somebody, I'll do this, and somebody says, well, where is it? I don't know. Okay, so here's Jerusalem down here, if you can see it, okay? Along with the Dead Sea down in this area, very dry, rocky wilderness area. Up here, okay, it's a little bit more fertile. This is the Sea of Galilee. You remember where Jesus like walked on the water up here? Okay, this is Mount Carmel, all right, where Elijah was. This is Megiddo is in this area. And this whole valley is the Jezreel Valley right in here, okay, in upper Israel. And then it says in the end, it says that no one's going to help him. And this is a contrast to what we're going to read about God's people in chapter 12, because they do get a lot of help. See, in the end, the enemy loses. So it's going to look like he's winning a lot and all the time. And if you're a Christian, you'll be thinking, man, this is terrible. But listen, here's the bottom line. He loses. We win. No one is going to come to help him in the end. When the Lord comes back, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says, then the devil who has deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Wow. So listen, I'd be thinking about that if any of you here are not saved by the time that happens, and you're wondering if you should take the mark of the beast to get food and water. Oh, it'll just make logical sense, right? In order to get food for our family, we got to do it. That's where they're going, and that's where his followers are going. For how long? And just in case forever wasn't enough, just to make sure you get the point. And ever. I don't know. To me, that's like a super sobering thought. It goes on in 12, this last little bit here in chapter 12. Verse 1. It says, at that time. Now, at that time points back to Daniel chapter 11, 36 that we just read. All the way up to maybe, I don't know, verse 4 or 5. And it's during the time when the Antichrist is ascending to power. It's during the final great tribulation period. And it's going to be a terrible time. It is going to be unprecedentedly terrible. And it says that Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Now, Michael is only one of two angels that are mentioned in the Bible by name. What's the other one? Gabriel. That's right, Gabriel. We know a little bit about Michael from other passages of Scripture. It says that he's the prince who protects the people. So Michael is not just an angel. It says in Jude 1:9, thanks, Chris, if you can hit that light for a second. It says in 1:9, it says, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dared to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So he's a warrior for the Lord. He's an archangel. He battles Satan. It says he's a spiritual warrior. In Revelation 12, verse 7 to 8, it says there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and his angels were forced out of heaven. It also, well, I'll wait on that one. It also says in the book of Daniel that he's a protector over the people of Israel, over Israel. And so he's going to arise to their defense. And it says, then it says in that same verse, verse 1, there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of time until now. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Think of whatever you think is the most terrible thing that has ever happened in history. The most, maybe it's a disease or a plague or a war or a slaughter. Whatever it is, there will not be, during this great tribulation, there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until now. Zoinkaramas. Listen, this is what the Bible said, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. Speaking of the end days, he says, for then there will be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. That's how we know that hasn't happened yet, because it's never to be equaled again. And it goes on to say, verse 22, I have it like in the screen, it's for my notes, but Jesus even said, if those days had not been cut short, nobody would even survive. But for the sake of those elect, those who are chosen, those who have given their life for Jesus, the days were shortened. Imagine that. You know, when I think of the persecution of the Jewish people, I honestly, I can't think of any people group who have been persecuted more over history than the Jews. Do you know what I mean? When I think of all the persecution they've gone through, I think of like if all the ites, you know what I mean? The Ammonites, the Moabites, the termites, you know, I don't know, all the ites, the Amalekites, they were all persecuted, these Jews. But not only that, if you remember Pharaoh, Egypt, enslaved the Jews, right? Killed their babies, enslaved the Jews. You guys remember, you guys know all this like stuff from history. But not only Egypt, you got Antiochus Epiphanes. In 1 3-day period, he killed almost 100,000 Jewish people, slaughtered them one by one. You guys remember all the story, roasted on frying pans. I already told you all that. I don't need to tell you all that again. Terrible stuff. And that's just, but persecuted them, persecuted and persecuted them in rage. Not only Antiochus and after him, the Greeks, not only that, then Rome. Rome oppressed them for many, many years, crucified many Jews. Titus came in, killed tens of thousands of Jews when he came in, but they were persecuted under the Romans. And then after the Romans, I mean, I made a little note. This is the stuff that I thought of. The Tsars of Russia, terrible persecution of the Jews. How about Hitler in Germany? Listen, that we just know about that one, right? I've been to Germany. I've been to one of the concentration camps personally, Dachau. It is revolting. I mean, they still have the ovens where they would. It's you wouldn't even believe it. Yeah. I mean, I didn't, but yeah. You can't help but cry. I think in Israel, maybe it was in Jerusalem, Yad Vashem, oh Lord, help me remember. They have a memorial in Israel. I think it's called Yad Vashem. Don't quote me on that. But boy, you will be in tears when you see the history of the persecution just from that time. It's amazing. Millions. I just, holy schmolies. Like, you can't even imagine it. And that's just one time, one people group. Not to mention, you know, a lot of the Arab community have a hate for them. The Soviet Union was a persecutor. You know, and I hate to say it, even the Catholic Church. No, I'm not attacking Catholic, but for almost 2,000 years, the quote-unquote church persecuted the Jews, called them Christ killers. Terrible. Muslims to this day, every country around, teeny tiny little Israel the size of New Jersey, wants them annihilated. I mean, off the face of the earth. Man, women, children, whatever. That's pretty bad. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But you know what? And here's why. Because people, this is what I found out. Listen, people, unless you have the Lord, people believe what they want to believe. You do too. Listen, I don't believe what I want to believe. What? I mean it. I don't believe what I want to believe. You see, I want to believe that I can live my life just the way I want to and go to heaven. That's what I want to believe. But that's not what God says. That's not what His Word says. So I bend my knee to what He says. When we talk about this, it's never going to be equaled again. Imagine, well, you don't have to imagine, so I'm going to tell you a little briefly. Okay, so first I did a quick summation, and then I did a little bit more detail. Get the lights, thanks. First, there's going to be seven seals during this great tribulation period. And I've kind of summed it up here, but, you know, first, when the first seal, when they're during this great tribulation period that happens, you know, the Antichrist is going to appear, and it's going to be a terrible time, and he's going to have false miracles and powers and all that, and a lot of people are going to be like doopy doopy dur, and they're going to follow him. It says there's going to be anarchy. It's going to get so bad that people are going to turn on each other. Now, I know you can't imagine that in America, people turning on each other. Isn't it getting crazy right now? They're going to turn on each other and kill each other. There's going to be a tremendous famine. Now, in America, How many of you guys have gone without food for a while? Raise your hand. Okay, there's been a few of you. That's a tough time. I mean, if you've gone without for days, it does something to you. Now, I haven't experienced that, obviously, you say, in a long time. Because I live in America, we're doing okay, I can go have a cheeseburger or a Subway afterwards and fill my little belly. But there's going to be a famine. It's going to say, when all this stuff is going on right here, during this time, the seals, that a fourth of the population will be destroyed. So think about that. If there's 7 billion people on the planet, 7 billion people during this time period, right, during this great tribulation, right here, just during the seals, 1.75, roughly, billion people are going to die. Turn on each other, famine, antichrist persecution, whatever. The martyrs, they're going to kill Christians. There's going to be earthquakes, and then there's going to be the trumpets. And then the trumpets, I'll just zip that one. Maybe I'll.
Can you zip back to that just for a second?
This one? Yeah, I'm going to stay here for a second. I'm just going to summarize it because I'm thinking time-wise. Oh, you're killing me. Anyway, all right, let me go over it. Okay, so then there's going to be the seven trumpets, okay? And you can see the first trumpet. Basically, it's going to be the green grass and the trees. A third of them on the earth are going to burn up. Revelation 8:7. The second trumpet, a third of the seas become blood, and it says it kills everything in them. All the fish, all the commercial fishing, all the plankton, all that's going to die, okay? And the sea is destroyed, a third of it. And a third of the waters, right, are going to turn bitter. And then it doesn't mean bitter like, oh, it tastes bad. It's going to be poisoned, so you can't drink that it will kill you. And then it says, like, the sun, the moon, and stars, it's going to be darkened. And then there's going to be, in the fifth, there's going to be this abyss, and these demonic creatures come out. I don't even know what you could call them. I don't even know. These locusts, and it's going to be a terrible, terrible thing, a part of the beast's military power, Revelation 9, 1 to 12. You can read about all this in the trumpets. The seals, you can read about in Revelation 6. The trumpets, you can read about in Revelation 8 and 9. We'll get to the other one in a second. The sixth trumpet, a 200 million man army, and another third of the population is killed. That's another 1.7 billion people. Now, the only country that I think could do that right now, of course, would be China, but I don't know. I'm not saying bad, bad China. It's a possibility. And the seventh, the kingdom of God is declared. And listen to this. Then God pours out his bowls of wrath. It says the people will still not repent. They'll still not turn to the Lord. In fact, they curse him all the more because they're following the beast. It's almost like their hearts have been seared with a hot iron. And in fact, it says the first wrath, right, the bowl of wrath, that comes out, sores are going to inflict those who accept the mark of the beast. The boils and sores are going to plague them. I'm kind of happy about that one. Revelation 16, 2. You can read all about that in Revelation 16. Number 2, the seas turn to blood and all the sea creatures die. Revelation 16, the rivers turn to blood is the third bowl. Revelation 16, 4 to 7. The fourth bowl is mankind is scorched by the sun. It says that in Revelation, they get so much agony, they're gnawing on their tongues and they're cursing God. They won't repent. They won't turn to him. In the fifth bowl of wrath, the beast's seat of government is afflicted. And the sixth, the Euphrates River is dried up and the armies gather for Armageddon. And then the seventh bowl, everything is shaken. If it wasn't for the Lord, it says, stopping it, even the elect would. I mean, this is going to be a crazy 7-year period that everybody's just going to want to die. It says that they were just hoping that the mountains would fall on us as the Lord's coming back rather than turn to him. They're so embittered and deceived by this beast.
Mm-hmm.
that the Sahara Desert flooded with water, and there were so many locusts, you could see them scooping up tons and tons and tons of locusts where
yes.
there's no greenage whatsoever.
Yes.
And they're still in... and golf-sized hail
yeah.
was coming all at the same time.
I think these are just the birth pains. Now, when I say locusts, I don't mean these are like some sort of beastly critters because they're going to have – they're not just going to just, go and chew on some food. I'm sorry? No, I know. But what I'm saying, when this happens, when they come from the abyss, it's going to be a terrible place. But that is amazing. Yeah, these are the birth pangs of things that are coming here at the end. And it says, here, can you get that light for me just for a second, Chris? Sorry, I need it. It says, it's still in verse 1. Okay, we're going to get through, we're getting through chapter 12. It says, but at that time, he says, this is the angel telling him this, right? All this is taking place, guys. If you go back to Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, all this is taking place. God's giving him these visions. The angels are speaking to him. You can see it when it starts in Daniel chapter 10, verse 4, on the banks of the river. He's given him all this information. He says, listen, he says, but at this time, Daniel, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Now, this is a neat thing, okay? Right now, most of the Jews are in Israel. At least 40 to 50%, I think the total right now is 41 point something, are actually secular Jews. Do you know what that means? Yes. They don't practice right. They're Jewish by nationality. There's another big group that are religious, okay, that do. But right now, almost half is secular. They're not. They don't worship, you know. And the other ones, most of the rest have rejected their Messiah. Now, there is a group called, well, they're born-again Jewish people, Messianic Jews, whatever you want to call them, whatever their title you feel comfortable with. You know, they have, there's a small portion that have given their hearts over to Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord Messiah. And, but it says, it's a neat thing because he's not forgotten his people. Even though they've broken the covenant, even though they've rejected this Messiah, the religious people have, and the other ones are just like, we're living for ourselves. We're totally secular, half the population. God's like, I still love you. Isn't that amazing? But if you've walked away from the Lord, or if you've walked a long way before the Lord got you, let me tell you something. You know what that's like. You think, oh my God, he still loved me. I didn't get saved till I was 30, and let me tell you, I won't tell you. Not such a nice person. But it says in Genesis 17, thanks, Chris. He said, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. He still loves them, and he's still going after them, too, just like he went after you and me. Romans 11:25 says, Paul said this, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you don't feel proud about yourself. Speaking to the Gentiles, I don't think you're that hot stuff. Because some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles has come to Christ. Then the Lord is going to be pouring out, he's going to be rescuing thousands of them during this time of tribulation. And the same is true for us, though. It's whoever's name is written in the book. Revelation 3:5 says, the one who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. Listen, you know why I press so much on persevering, on overcoming? Oh, I just don't want to do this Bible study. Oh, I can't come on Sunday because, you know, I'm tired. Oh, I don't want to go to the women's group because there's one lady there, and she has bad coffee breath and isn't very nice. And I don't want to go to the men's group because, you know, I don't like the pork there. And, you know, Gary, I just don't like the way he teaches. And I don't, Darren bugs me the way he's like so animate, blah, blah, blah. Get over yourself. You need to be a perseverer, an overcomer. You need to just do it. The Bible says over and over, the one who overcomes, Start now. These are tiny, tiny little things. Experiencing God is so much homework. Now just know the Lord so much better. It's just not worth it. It is. It's worth it. I'm telling you. So encourage one another, right? Be an overcomer. Now, there might be a few people who think, he's talking to me in the middle of the sermon. No, I'm not. I'm speaking to all of us, okay? Don't let the enemy play with your little noodle, your melon. That's for all of us. It says in Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the book. Revelation 20, verse 12. And then, of course, whoever's name was not found written in the book of life, here you go. Here's your reward. You want to live your own way? You want to do your own thing? You're cast in the lake of fire. Originally designed for the angels, the fallen angels and Satan. But if you don't want to follow the Lord, guess what? You get to do that forever. And ever. Thank you. I don't know who said that. That was really great. Did you hit the light, Chris, for a sec? Oi. It says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Again, some people now say that hell doesn't exist. Then there's another group of people that's, how convenient. Who wouldn't want to go to that church? That's going to be super popular. Let's see, I get to prosper. There's no hell. Oh, and then there's another group of people. And I hope I'm not insulting anybody here. I hope you guys know better or know the Bible enough. Let's say, oh, just hell is just for a little while. Honestly, I'm not kidding you. They really think, what does it say here? Some to everlasting life. How long is everlasting?
Forever and ever.
Adoy, forever and ever. Yes, yes. I understand that. And I'm a knucklehead. Come on. And then it says, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. Zoinkaramas. Yeah, I think I heard one of the trumpets. That's what friends are for. Okay. It says in verse 3, and would you hit the lights for me? Those who are wise, or those who impart wisdom, will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. That is a beautiful verse. If you have a Bible, you should underline, highlight that, star it, do whatever you do in your Bible. That's an amazing verse. Listen, Daniel 12:3, and those who are wise. Listen, are you wise in the Lord? Not how much you know, not how many degrees you have, not how much money, how successful you are, popular. Those who are wise in the Lord will shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness like stars forever and ever. He wants you to shine. Your living for Jesus is bringing other people here to Jesus. You're living that way. It's having an effect on people. Unless, of course, you're not. You're a witness for Jesus. It's just you're either a good witness or a bad witness. Do you know what I'm saying? Listen, God wants us to shine. The definition of shining is to give off light or to reflect light. He wants you to do you remember that song? Okay, this is really kind of dorky, but it's an old school thing. I think it was a DC Talk. Wait a minute. Or maybe it was Newsboys. Shine, make them wonder what you got. Nobody knows that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking for it. Da, na, 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 na. Thank you. Okay. So he does. He wants us to shine. Listen, I know in your mundane world, my mundane world, I can get all humdrummy. I don't like my job. I don't like my house. I don't like my food. I don't like my dishwasher. Do you like your dishwasher? Yeah, thanks. Okay. We can get, you know what I mean? Things aren't always great for us. But my gosh, you are saved and going to heaven. Your worst day here, your worst day here, right? It is only a foretaste that's just a foretaste of all the people who reject Jesus. That's going to be their best day. He wants us to shine. Listen, and we can only do that. Jesus was actually, he's the source of the light, right? Everybody knows that? John 1:9 says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, is coming. It was coming into the world. John 1:9. He's the source of that light. Now, how do I shine? Here's one way. Number one, okay, be countercultural, all right? Listen, the world's dark, self-focused, filled with lying and conniving and this and that and the other. Man, be countercultural. Do what you do to glorify the Lord. Put off whatever sinful stuff you're struggling with. Get rid of it. And put on the light of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can shine. While others are searching after physical pleasure or selfish gain, we're commanded to speak and live and socialize and work in a way that glorifies the King of Kings. That's your real job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You don't just drive a truck. Do you know what I'm saying? You're glorifying the King wherever you go, whoever you talk to. That's your mission. Be countercultural. Listen, Romans 13, verses 12 and 14 says, the night is nearly over. Hey, the time is almost here. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of what? Light. Instead, the Bible says, here's what I want you to do. Clothe yourselves. I'm not going to do it for you. The pastors, I'm not going to come to you and say, oh, you need to put on your jacket, button your little shirty of righteousness. I'm going to encourage you, but you put it on yourself. You put off those deeds of darkness, just like you're going to take off that dirty shirt and put on the light. It said, instead, clothe yourself with what? Listen to this. What does that say? The. Clothe yourself. Listen. If you clothed yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, would you sometimes talk to your husband that way, or your wife that way, or your coworker that way, or your kids that way, handle your finances that way, watch that show, look on that inner. Do you see what I'm saying? You and me. We're to clothe ourselves with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Don't even go there. But not only that, put yourself out there. Put yourself out there. That's how you shine. A light's going to shine in the darkness wherever it goes, but you got to go. You could be timid, or you could have an outgoing personality. Wherever you go, you're called to be a light, but you have to interact with people. You have to make relationships with people. You have to talk with them. Like, I just want to be at home where it's safe with my family. That's where I'm comfy cozy. But God says, no, you're a light. I want you to go out. I want you to shine. Listen to what he says in Matthew 5, 14 to 15. He says, you, Christian, you are the light of the world, a city and a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, the lamp is placed on a stand and gives light to everyone in the house. You're that lighted person right here. That should be you, me. That's what he wants us to be. Make sense? Oh, man. And lastly, how do I shine? Always point back to the light source. There's something kind of sick inside of each one of us that wants the glory for ourselves. I want people to look at me and say, oh, what a nice person. Oh, what a spiritual person. Oh, what a this person. God says, don't do that. Don't steal God's glory. Give it all right back. Point to the Lord. Every time somebody says, oh, you're such a nice, what a wonderful teacher. Oh, thank you. It's the Lord. Man, I just so appreciate your integrity as a principal. You know what? That's all Jesus. Man, I just love your family. You're such a great family. Honestly, it's just Jesus. What a great dad you are. What a great dad. You know, thank you. It's the Lord. How patient are you? You're so patient. Oh, it's Jesus. I can't believe how kind you are. You're so generous with your time to take and help me. You know, honestly, it's the Lord. It's the Lord that's done that. You're directing it all back. So whenever they think, oh, you're pointing it right back to Jesus. You got it? Always point back to the source. Matthew 5:16 says, in that same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works, but give glory to your Father in heaven. All right, give me 5 more minutes. Lights! Thank you. Okay, approximately 5 minutes. Okay. Please be patient with me. We're getting through Daniel 12, Lord willing. Okay, here we go. It says, but you, Daniel, this is verse 4, but you, Daniel, close up the seal of the words of the scroll until the time of the end, right? And it says, many will go here and there and increase in knowledge. Do some of your Bibles say run to and fro? Okay, I think the ESV King James said that. That's really good. The word in Hebrew is actually shoot, S-H-U-W-T, shoot. And it means like someone's frantically searching. So they're running to and fro, searching for knowledge, right, during this time, right? They're going to be searching for more intelligence or more wisdom or some enlightenment. They're going to be running to and fro, not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. And it reminds me, it's the same words used in Amos 8:12. This is 8:11, if you could hit the lights, Chris, for 1 second, please. Thank you. It says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. He goes on to say in 8:12, and this is the same thing, same word here, shoot, that for that whole phrase, they shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. 2 Timothy 3:7 says this, they'll be ever learning, but never able to come to acknowledge the truth. There's lots of folks that'll sit here and even get lots of Bible knowledge, but they'll never acknowledge the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So don't get lost even when you're getting all this great information in your head and miss the main thing, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Oui. So just really quick, I'm going to skip that. Nope. For time's sake. Nope. It goes on to say, verse 5, then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others on the bank of the river. Remember, this is back from Daniel 10:4, where this all started. Hey, 10:4. Anyway. Okay. Sorry. I'm good, buddy. One on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. It says, one of them said to the man clothed in linen, and just really quickly, these are the two angels. I think one of them is Jesus. That's just what I think. They could be two angels. I think one of them clothed in linen. If you go back to 10:4, you'll see that it says that his, it says when it's describing him, his body was like shined like chrysolite, that his face was like lightning, his eyes were flaming torches, his arms and legs gleam of burnished bronze, and it had the voice of a multitude. And so this other angel is asking this one who's standing over the water, walking on the water. You'll find out in a minute if that rings any bells. Anyway, it says that one of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, walking on the water there, how long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? And the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven. I heard by him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times and half a time. That's 3.5 years. I'm not going to go through all those scripture verses during this tribulation period, but let's just leave it at that. It's 3.5 years. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. And verse 8 says, I heard, but I did not understand. And some of it I heard, but didn't understand. But I did understand a lot of it. And maybe you understood some of it too. You know a little bit more what to look for. Hopefully, God willing, those who are in Christ Jesus will be harpazoed, rapturoed, raptured, taken out of here before all this takes place. But even if you have to go through it, let me tell you what. You, if I'm wrong about that and I don't get raptured, you know what I'm going to do? Continue to follow the Lord no matter what happens. It finishes with this. So I asked my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? It says in verse 8. And in verse 9 it says, He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified and spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand all this, but those who are wise will understand." Listen, Chris, can I ask you to hit the lights just for a second? Those who are here during that time are going to be refined like never before. Daniel 11:35 says, "And some of the wise shall even stumble, so that they can be refined, purified, and made white until the time of the end, for it still awaits an appointed time." Listen, we can be easily deceived. What do you see here? Quack, what do you see? Duck? Right. You can see a duck, right? See the little thing? Oh, but some of you see a rabbit. See the mouth? Listen, we can be easily deceived depending on how we look at things, right? Isn't that true? Just because I said duck, duck, everybody's like quack. I went quack, quack. Everybody's like, oh, it's a duck. Hey, don't look at me when you say that. But listen to what it says. Listen, the Bible says, be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived. Because when this deceiver comes, let me tell you, there's going to be a supernatural deception. You think it's bad now, it's going to go over like waves of people. And they won't even know what hit them unless you know. There's a scripture verse in Daniel 11, verse 32 that says, "But those people who know their God will firmly resist them." I love that. So be careful. Don't let your heart be deceived so that you will turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. He goes on to say, listen, I love this. 2 Timothy 3:12-13. "Yes, those who decide to please Christ Jesus by living godly lives will suffer at the hands of those who hate him." Listen, they're going to suffer then. They're going to suffer now. So don't think, oh, when I get saved, everything's really just roses and rainbows. Actually, people teach that. So understand that all those living godly lives are going to be persecuted. In fact, it says evil men and false teachers will become worse to worse, deceiving many. They themselves have been deceived by Satan. Listen, don't be deceived. Know what the word says for yourself. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10 says, "The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and false wonders and miracles, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing." And here's the reason why, ultimately, that they're perishing, right? The wicked deception is working. It's because why? They what? That's why. You want to know sometimes why you're witnessing to someone over and over and over again, and they're refusing to... It's because they're refusing to love the truth. I'm not saying you quit praying. I'm not saying quit speaking about it. But that's the bottom line. They're refusing it. Now the last thing we have here, in this last verse, it just says, verse 11? "From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished, and the abomination that causes desolation is set up," when he sets up that thing to himself, that little statue or worship of himself, "there will be 1,290 days. That's 3.5 years on a 365-day calendar. "Blessed is he who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. Now somebody might ask, well, why is there 45 days gap in there? And you know what I would say to them? I have no idea. I don't know. So if somebody's smarter, you can ask them. But it says in verse 13, "As for you," and God would say this, he's saying this to Daniel, but God would say this to you too, "as for you, go your way." And whose way are we going? Jesus is the way. So go your way till the end. He goes, "Then you will rest." Listen, you got it hard now. I got it. It's not easy now, Christian. I got it. But then you're going to rest. Don't rest now. You're not done yet. If you were done, he would have taken you out of here right now. He's got a mission for you. Invest the time. Go to the Bible study. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Be strengthened for such a time as this. Does that make sense, my friends? And then he finishes with, "And then at the end of the days, you will rise and receive your inheritance." You know what? The same is true for us. At the end, we're going to receive our inheritance. The wives are going to inherit honor. And we're going to even take those crowns. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servants. And we're going to take those crowns of rewards and we're going to give it right back to him and say, we just love you, Lord. We're just so happy to be with you. But it says the fools are going to get shame and contempt. No goodness, no God forever and ever. And I love this. And it says, promises Daniel an inheritance. And God promises us an inheritance for those of us who follow him. Listen, be encouraged, be strengthened. Be steadfast. It says this in 1 Peter 1:3-4. According to Jesus, according to our Father's great mercy, he has caused us to be what? Born again. Right. I was going one way and now I'm born again and I'm starting to go another way. I've been born again. New ideas. I've got new desires. I've got new destinations. I've got new things that are important to me. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope, not based on our circumstances, not based how poopy things are for us. I've got a living hope. I serve a living, risen Christ Jesus. And then it says, through the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, and I love this, I'm born again to what? To an inheritance. That is what? Imperishable. What? Undefiled. And what? Unfading, and it's kept in heaven for who? That's right, whoever you said, for you, for me. Isn't that amazing? Let's thank our Lord right now. I know I kept you a little bit extra. Father God, I just want to say thank you for your awesome, incredible love to us, your precious word, your faithfulness, Lord. I pray that you would help each one of us to become overcomers, steadfast, Lord, knowing that we have an inheritance, Lord. Stir us up, Lord, to love and good deeds. We thank you for the book of Daniel. We thank you for each one of us. Help us to encourage one another to love and to good deeds and to become perseverers and overcomers, Lord God, reminded that we have this hope. This living hope, Lord God, kept in heaven for us, Lord God. Let us just do what we do as a response of love for you, Lord, and help us to shine so that others may see your light as we direct people back to you, Jesus. We ask this in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys and have a great week in Jesus' name.